So good evening. It's 5:01 now. I'm going to call to order the closed session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. Going to start first with comment. Are there any members of the public wishing to give public comment at this time?
There are no members of the public in attendance.
Well, seeing and hearing none, can go ahead and move to close.
Okay.
And pausing the recording. Everyone, thanks for joining. I'm going to mute everybody unless you have something to say. Just stay muted, but everyone will have the opportunity. Everyone can have the power to unmute themselves. Steven, you'll be muted too, so you'll probably want to.
Yeah. All right. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call to order the regular session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It is 6:01 p.m. May I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Dale is absent. Commissioner Marks? Commissioner Higgins?
Present.
Commissioner Doss?
You may have to unmute Larry.
He's present.
He said present if I'm lip reading.
Commissioner Coleman?
Present.
Okay, all present except for Commissioner Dale.
Okay, and then would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, if you care? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Do we have a report on closed session?
Yeah, and there was no reportable action taken during tonight's closed session.
Thank you, Ryan. Before we move on to public comment, one item on the agenda. I am going to request that item 11B, consideration of term sheet related to Harbor District Management of Tulawat Island Wetland Mitigation Project, be moved up directly after the communications and reports, because I see we have representatives from the Weah Tribe and Caltrans here. And so out of respect for them, I'd like to move it from the very end of the agenda to the front of the agenda.
So moved.
That's was that a pun?
Yes, I made a motion.
Second, Higgins.
Well, I guess we have a motion and second on the floor. I'm not sure if we need a motion for it, but any discussion on that then from the board or from the public? None. Can we have a vote on that? Roll call, Larry. And unmute yourself.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Okay, so that passes. We're going to move on now to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows to speak to the board on various items, issues not itemized on this agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar be pulled and discussed separately. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda. And I will not read the rest, but is there any member of the public who has any comment on matters not on tonight's agenda? Please identify yourselves and we'll take your name and then we'll call through the order for public comment. And if you are trying to speak, you might need to unmute yourself if you have public comment. Right. Sounds like hearing none. We're going to move on to the consent calendar, and I've been informed that there was a request to pull was it item 8D from the consent calendar. Are there any other items that any board members would like to pull from the consent calendar? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar, accepting item 8D.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote on that? I think you're muted again.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
And yes. President Coleman.
I'm not sure if I heard my name, but I'm a yes.
Yes, Commissioner Coleman.
Okay. Thank you. So you had told me, Larry, that item 8D was requested to be pulled. So is there any discussion on that, or?
Are you there? Rich, did you want to discuss? I believe Rich Tobin requested that this item be pulled. Rich, would you like to explain what you want to discuss?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Okay. The pulling, the removal of Mr. Plotz's name from the adopted minutes you plan to change leaves me confused. And I'm going to go quickly through them. There's two of them that aren't in there that it's January 24th, 2019, when Paul Briseau is the district counsel. And he is as the same firm as I understand Mr. Plotz is, who has recused himself from these decisions on these properties. I'm wondering why he's not being pulled. And on May 8th, that is after Mr. Plotz recused himself and Nancy Diamond was representing you. However, Mr. Plotz's name is not being removed from that May 8th one. And I'm sorry, Paul Briseau is on that one also. However, Mr. Plotz is reporting on the executive session. That has me confused, since that's both of them are, should, at least one of them should be recused and the other two aren't. And all of these that I'm going to mention, the remainders that you have there, they are all for terms of potential purchase of real property. That's all it addresses. Okay, on May 23rd, Mr. Plotz's name is coming off and Mr. Carlson's name is the other negotiator. And Mr. Plotz is left on here as reporting on the action taken. That has me concerned or confused. October 24th, it's also purchase. Mr. Plotz's name, you're taking him off of that. Mr. Carlson's not, is still on. November 14th, the same thing, Mr. Carlson, Mr. Plotz. Okay. December 12th, you're taking him off, putting Mr. Carlson on. However, you're not taking away, you're not saying that their district council was not there. The district council is not identified in any of these, if since Mr. Plotz has recused himself. Nor is Ms. Diamond's, Mr. or Mrs. Diamond's name there. June 25th, again, Mr. Plotz and Security National. And for some reason, the name of the negotiating party, the name of the individual is now being left out. Again, it's real property. And there was no reportable action. August 13th, again, purchase, Security National, no name. Mr. Plott's name is going to be removed. You come down to the bottom of that on the closed session. They met on the above items A and D. A is for the sale of the property. However, you come down to business, it comes to sale and transfer of the property. It also has Friends of the Dunes in there for the first time. And Security National and Friends of the Dunes negotiator are not there. And the list of people who were there was Mr. Kluman, Dossdale, Marks, Higgins, and Mr. Ortiker, I can't say his last name, and no attorney. So this to me indicates that also in the August 13th one where it was approved, the transfer was approved and no legal counsel was there. And that transfer is not part of the sale. It was the notice was for purchase of real property. These things, except in business where you passed it, it was for transfer of Friends of the Dunes. It's transfer is not a sale. I would appreciate I'd like to hear what you have to, I'm done. It's for discussion, however you take it from here. These are concerns I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Larry, do you have any response to those concerns?
Well, I think there's a couple of, just a clarification is that when it says in the agenda who the negotiating party is, those are the people that are authorized to negotiate. That doesn't mean who was present in the negotiations or who was present in the closed session. They're not the two.
Your speaker is very broken for me.
Yeah, we're getting an echo. I'm not sure where it's from,
So there's a distinct difference between when you post an item on the agenda of who the negotiating parties are. For the district in particular, it's who the board has authorized to negotiate. That doesn't say who was present in the closed session items, because most of the negotiations take place outside of the closed session environment. It's just who for the district is authorized to negotiate. And I'm the person that was authorized to negotiate for the district. There was an error by placing the district council, Ryan Plotz, on the minutes because he recused himself and did not participate in the negotiations. And so I don't recall exactly whether Mr. Brisso, the previous district council who's in the same firm, participated in those negotiations or not. That's something I'd have to look into because that was a while ago. But, you know, those are individual decisions that the council might make of whether or not they recuse themselves. Mr. Brisso may have made a different decision than Mr. Plotz. And so that, again, doesn't make it right or wrong. There was just who was authorized to negotiate. And so
there's a clarification there, Larry. When Mr. Brisso was advising the district, that was long before Friends of the Dunes were part of the picture. It was a totally different negotiation back then. So there couldn't have been any conflict with Brisso.
Yeah, so the potential conflict was with the firm's association with Security National, not with Friends of the Dunes, if I'm correct.
So yes, really the key thing is, I think these are minutes and with the agenda item, and the party that the board authorized to negotiate was originally, you know, my, well, originally it was Jack Kreider and Paul Brissow. Before I even got there, it was Jack Kreider and Paul Brissow. And then it was Jack Kreider left the district, and then I became, you know, the second negotiator as the executive director, and Mr. Brissow remained as the negotiator. And the error in the minutes was we should not have put Mr. Plotz on the minutes. And so the purpose of the agenda correction is simply to strike Mr. Plotz from the minutes. To my knowledge, while I was present, there was never any representative from Security National in the closed session. The board met as on its own, and the executive director met with Security National as part of the negotiations.
And I'll confirm that we didn't have any representatives from any of the outside entities participating in any of the closed sessions. Are there any other comments or questions from the board?
Given the fact that the strike through on Ryan Plotz reflects an error, a clerical error, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve the minutes. October 28th.
Do we have a second to approve item 8D?
I'll second that with a caveat. If you've ever had to do minutes yourself for an agency, you're going to make a mistake every now and then. It's just a clerical issue. It's nothing nefarious. It's nothing that's earth-shattering. And so I'll make that second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I guess at this time, because it's been pulled, I need to then go to public for comments. Is that correct? So are there any public comments on this agenda item now, on this motion? And all right, hearing.
I don't agree with your, that's my comment. I don't agree.
Okay, with thank you. Comment. And
that's it.
I appreciate your diligence in looking at our minutes. All right, bringing it back up to the board. Can we have a vote on this?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Moving on to communications reports and correspondence. Executive Director's report, please.
I have a couple of things to report, and that is that we'd like to schedule a special meeting for next Thursday, November 19th. And on that, we'd like to have a couple of items. One is to approve a lease agreement with RTI, which is a fiber optic cable landing company, which would do basically a trans-Pacific fiber optic line that would land at the former pulp mill property and then would connect into the previously approved fiber optic line that goes down Highway 299. And so that trans-Pacific fiber optic line, we'll place that on the agenda for November 19th. We anticipate putting the agenda out on Monday and then having a term sheet that would be available to the public on Monday. And then we're anticipating that the agreement would be signed by RTI on Wednesday the 18th, and that we would make that agreement available to the public on Wednesday, November 18th. And so the public could review that prior to requesting that the board adopt that on November 19th. The second item on the agenda is that We're currently in escrow to purchase the property that is west of Navy Base Road and the between Navy Base Road and the Pacific Ocean, directly in front of the pulp mill from Simpson Paper Company. And so that would effectively give the Harbor District complete control of all the property from Humboldt Bay to the Pacific Ocean. And this basically facilitates the cable landing onto our property, that we would own all that property along the Pacific Ocean frontage. The third item that we will have on the agenda is we currently have a lease agreement with a company that wants to build a data center in the pulp mill. And they've requested an extension of that agreement. And so we'll be requesting that the board review the existing lease agreement and consider an extension of a new data center. And so basically all three of those are separate and independent, but essentially it helps to usher in a new economic development opportunities for our community with the world's largest fiber optic lines that would come from Indonesia and Korea, and I forget where the third one would go, connecting into the Highway 299 project, and then also data center opportunities. So we wanted to give the public kind of advance notice of those deals, and we're going to make those agreements available as soon as we can. But we will be asking the board to approve the cable landing contract and to take all final actions on the acquisition of the beach property, and as well as to consider a lease amendment with a data center property project at the former pulp mill. So that is my report, but I'd like to turn it over to Chris Mickelson for his facilities management report. Adam, can you put his slide on?
Okay, good evening. Thank you. I think our first slide centers around Redwood Marine Terminal 2. We've reported of the recycling efforts last time in our staff report in regards to all the metal debris and other items that were at this location. So I wanted to give you a quick look at the view now. There's about 4.5 acres behind what we refer to as the machine building. And you'll know in my previous reports, this was nothing but piled, but now we have a clean 4.5 acres. And so I'd like to recognize Robert Proble on our staff, who's made it his mission to get this going for us. Moving on, we'll go over to Woodley Island Marina. We recently had an oil spill on GDOC due to the very quick actions of our marina manager, Corey Moores, pulling in our team to get in there and mop this up by the time the agencies arrived, which would be California Department of Fish and Game, or Fish and Wildlife, as they're now called. And also the U.S. Coast Guard. The spill was all but cleaned up. There was very little residual left in there. So compliments to Corey for having his quick action and providing excellent leadership on this. Because of the regular trainings we do, all of our staff is hazmat certified and renews on an annual basis. It was really a matter of procedure to get this cleaned up. But I do want to make sure that we recognize Corey's diligence and efforts in managing our marina. This is the Table Bluff Lighthouse. Leroy Zerling, who's certainly a good steward of the district, and I spoke recently. His father, Bill, was involved in the restoration of this many years ago, along with some other gentlemen in our community here. And the lighthouse was looking a little tired. The light wasn't working. So through some community donations, we were able to repaint the lighthouse, replace some broken items there, have the light restored, so it's now working in the evening hours, as well as lighted up in full at nighttime in terms of the profile of the building. Pearson Building Center donated all the paint and some of the window glazing to do paint and repairs. Mark Spencer of Spencer Electric came out and was able to get the strobe working again and help us with some timers. And then Leroy Zerling and his crew at ZNZ Marine are working on the exterior railing and stairs, we hope to install real soon. Want to recognize Rick Jukester from our maintenance staff. That's been his project. And he even got stuck up in the man lift one day, and he was a trooper. So appreciate that. Along the Embarcadero, we have one guy who loves attention to detail. His name is Robert. And along all of the rocks on the Embarcadero, we've had a lot of overgrowth, a lot of weeds, and a lot of missing rocks and bare spots. So he's been repositioning things, moving rocks from one part of the area to the other, and really just improving the landscape. At the heads of each one of our docks, they were very barren, in some cases even no rocks at all. So if you get a chance to walk the Embarcadero, please recognize his work. I just wanted to share some of his accomplishments in here tonight. And then in our next slide, I think this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We've got this beautiful piece, the fireboat. Adam's been directing an effort to get people trained to operate the boat. And through those trainings recently, we found out that we weren't able to get plane in the boat, meaning we weren't able to get up and get going on top of the water. And what had happened is in one of the training maneuvers, we had sucked in a piece of rope. So you see that little piece of rope is about 7 feet that's hanging there on the fence post. And here is the fireboat up in the straps down at Fieldsland Boatyard. And I want to recognize Todd at Rinky Marine Fabrication. He pulled the boat out of the water for us without using one of our annual hauls, went ahead and himself and his staff got in there, and he might see him laying down there on the rear swim deck of the boat, but removed all of the rope from the jet. And within about 35 minutes, we were back on the water with a fully functioning vessel. It's these relationships and partnerships, such as this particular thing or the repairs that we get with the lighthouse. These are golden relationships, and we're very grateful to have them. And then finally, just a quick little report on the Bay Street parcels. The two parcels that are being gifted from California Oregon Broadcast Investments, they're planned for open space and areas for mitigation. Adam has and Larry will have more information on this at a later date, but the grant deed has been received, so we're in the process of recording. I want to thank the Smolin and Hansen families, along with Ted Loring, who managed the transaction for us. That's our report for this evening.
Thank you, Chris. Do we have a district council or district treasurer report?
Yeah, just briefly for district council. As the board will recall, the district was sued by the Humboldt Fishermen's Marketing Association Incorporated and the Trinidad Bay Fishermen's Marketing Association, alleging that the district was in violation of law and the slip contracts, rental agreements, were not dredging. As the board will also recall, the Superior Court here dismissed the case, finding it without legal merit. The Court of Appeal affirmed in part and remanded the case in part. The Court of Appeal found that the district was not in violation of any legal duty, but that the fishermen, the two plaintiffs, should be given the opportunity to prove in court whether the district was in violation of the slip rental contracts with respect to dredging. After some further back and forth with the plaintiff's attorney, they have agreed to dismiss their case with prejudice in exchange for the district waiving any entitlements to recover court filing fees, which would be about $700. And so we made that agreement, and the case has now been dismissed with prejudice. And so that ends that litigation finally.
Thank you.
Coleman, Adam was going to give a brief report on the dredging project.
Oh, great. I was hoping to hear about dredging. Adam?
Yeah, sure. Just a brief update. As the board knows, we conducted some dredging this year. Today was the last day of dredging. Dredging was being done using a clamshell bucket with the material being moved to Redwood Marine Terminal 2, where it's been offloaded with an excavator, and it's being stockpiled there as we determine all the logistics and final permitting and everything for beneficial use of the material. As a reminder to the board, the contract for the dredging this year was around 11,000 cubic yards. There was about 7,200 cubic yards being funded by FEMA and Cal OES, and then around 4,300 being funded by the Harbor District. I don't think they quite got to the full amount of the contract. We won't know exactly how much they dredged until the post-dredge surveys are done, the soundings, which will be in the next week or two. We're estimating maybe between 7,500 and 9,000 cubic yards was dredged. So that will certainly take care of the amount being funded by FEMA and Cal OES. They consulted with us about, you know, how to prioritize the dredging. I think we did a great job of clearing sort of the center parts of the fairways, the four fairways where the dredging started in 2019, in order to you know, make clear paths for boats to move at all tides through those four fairways. Let's see. So I think, you know, overall we're pretty happy with how it went. You know, it's a pilot project. We've got that material now sitting at Terminal 2. We're buttoning it up for the winter, working on, you know, our beneficial use part of it, and then, you know, starting to look forward to planning for our next dredging event.
Lee, if I could just add something onto that, is, sure. You know, this is our second year of dredging in a row, and one of the core things in the dredging subcommittee that we had in the when we were meeting with the tenants is that we needed to get some experience of actually dredging and getting our staff trained. And I think that, you know, Adam and Corey and Mindy and our staff are really starting to get a handle on what it means to actually dredge and what does it take. And so we didn't have that, you know, 3 years ago. We didn't have any experience. We didn't really know what it was like because the last time it was 10 years ago. And now, just like everything, you have to get experience and you have to get trained. And we've learned a lot. I mean, I can tell you, we know what doesn't work well and how we need to improve communications and, you know, what pieces of equipment we can use and which ones we can't. But really, overall, you know, it appears like we got all of the FEMA dredging, which was really the core thing that we wanted to absolutely get done. It appears like, you know, we met all that. And we learned a ton. And the next step is going to be to really do a permit amendment and kind of refine some of the techniques that we can use and get them permitted through the agencies so that we can get back in there and start dredging again. Because the goal is, as Caltrans will tell you, you got to keep these things open. And we just didn't do a good job over the last, you know, 10 years of managing our dredging, and that I think we're starting to be on the right pathway of learning how to dredge, getting our staff trained, and then knowing what kind of equipment we need locally in order to get that job done, because we just can't afford 600,000 mobilization costs. It'll kill us. And so I can't thank Adam and Corey and Mindy and the rest of our staff enough, because I really think they stepped up to the plate. And lastly, you know, Bob Figas, he had a lot of challenges, and that guy did not give up. And so he really stuck with the district. And in the end, you know, we're going to see how it all worked out. But he hung in there with us and didn't back down one step and tried to be within compliance as much as he could. And so I really thank Bob for all the efforts that he had. You know, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, sometimes C's get degrees.
I'll add one thing. I'll tell you, we're all very interested in and excited for beneficially reusing dredge sediments. But in terms of staff perspective, it's a heck of a lot easier just to dump that stuff out in the ocean. But we're going to keep pushing forward on the beneficial reuse part. Because we're for that, but it's a hassle.
Yeah, but you got to hump instead of dump.
yeah, that I'll get a tattoo of that, Pat. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, we'll take up a contribution for the tattoo, Adam. All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Larry. I know when
we hired you. Dredging was priority number one, two, and three, and it's great to see it 2 years in a row being done, and to the staff making it happen and jumping all through the hoops and the crazy requirements to get it done. So really appreciate it. Okay, let's move on to commissioner reports. In no particular order, because on Zoom, you're next to me, Larry. So Larry Doss, you have a report?
Hey, you bet. You know, I never know on these Zoom meetings, if my look on the screen is the same as everyone else. I didn't realize you and I were this, right next to each other on your screen and on my screen. How cool. Kind of like a real organization. Anyway, Zoom is just a silly thing to be doing. And I'm really sick and tired of it. I can't wait till we get to the point where we can meet in person or somewhat, maybe some fashion of live in person. Then our director won't have the excuse of his microphone cutting out, and we'll be able to hear everything he says. So great to hear about the dredging. Thanks for that report, Adam. And I do know we had probably a lot more challenges on this small dredge project than what the larger one the previous year was. But it's just very exciting to say, you know, Humboldt Bay had 2 years in a row of the Harbor District managed dredging projects. I don't know if the Harbor District's ever been able to say that before. So I think that's a huge win for all of the staff at the district and the community and everybody involved. So just can't say enough good things about how cool it is to get to that point. And Chris, thank you for the words on the update on the staff and their projects and the new property that the district's going to acquire, which is real important for mitigation and also ties back to dredging. And that's all of those little things that don't seem like they have threads that are common together. They do. And so thank you for all that great information. I think, you know, I just want to keep in our mind that there's a lot of projects, a lot of discussions around the community talking about transportation and sea level rise. And I'd like us to be talking about that or at least be mindful of that in some reports coming up. And that transportation, just not just on sea, but on land, thinking about the rail prism and the trail and the changes with 101 that's going on, that all is going to impact what's going on the bay. We have lots of new residential units coming on in Samoa, and the district has been very involved in the utility side of it. But I think we need to also be thinking about the land transportation side of that and make sure that we kind of be thinking out loud of once some of these larger projects are coming in developed and what the new residential population is going to look like out there and what the road traffic is going to look like. Because, you know, ideally we're going to have a lot of truck traffic to and from the docks and in shipping. So I just think we should be revisiting that over and over and over again, just to make sure we're not missing anything and that we're very transparent on what our plans are for use and land and sea transportation. That's my deal. And we'll see you at that special meeting next week too.
Great. Thank you, Larry. Commissioner Marks.
Well, I'm piggybacking on Larry's comments because out on the peninsula, we have a lot of projects. And of course, Chris Mickelson also touched on a few other things that we have as far as Woodley Island Marina and Phil's Landing. And of course, we still have projects at Shelter Cove we're doing due diligence for. And as far as the peninsula, yeah, there's going to be low income housing tenants that will start arriving this next month. And also have to take care of the infrastructure for the peninsula and how the Harbor District will interface with the new developments going on. It's going to keep the Harbor District busy. And of course, I got a chance to meet a team from SSA Marine to talk about wind energy projects and their interface with our possible docks that we have for lease. And so there's a lot of things that are up in the air. The Harbor District is moving along, and Larry, you're absolutely right. There was a big 10-year term where we didn't do any dredging, and that really set us back. And then before that, you know, there was a problem with the dredging, and you're right, it took $600,000 at that time just to mobilize the equipment. So I think we're on a better keel for that now. Like I said, there's a lot going on with the Harbor District, and we'll just keep moving forward. That's it for me.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Higgins.
Inspiring productivity reported by Chris, good management, team building, partnership building, the prospects for the undersea cable, decade in the making, I'm not sure, but we're about ready to reap the benefits of all that hard work. And so some really good news on the economic development front, and then dredging progress 2 years in a row. We also got the Bay Street property. That's exactly what we need in lieu to have longfin smelt habitat so we can get our CESA permit, get our own equipment, and really lower the overhead and just do this as a routine. And we're progressing. And so thank you, Larry Oetker, for your vision. Thank you, Adam Wagshall, and the rest of the staff for helping bring this 2 years in a row to implementation. But let us go forward and get the ultimate solution. We have an open permit. We dredge every year. Our staff runs the dredge. We use the dredging material for climate change. So that's my two bits worth on the Harbor District. I've been monitoring the eel. We set the record on fire, 1 million acres. That wasn't a good record to set. I just got my 70th temperature probe we've retrieved from the field. Thank you to my partners who helped make that possible. There's fewer than 1,500 Chinook stuck in the lower river. We desperately need to improve habitat there. Lower Eel River Salmon Parkway has to come to fruition, recreation and habitat restoration. The ocean is not producing as it should for salmon. And so we'll be challenged. But if we work together in the eel, I think we can still have a very bright future. So that's my eelriverrecovery.org pitch. People can check that out. And thank you, Stephen, for all of that license.
Thank you, Commissioner Higgins. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, once again, congratulations to the staff on all the hard work and so many things moving on so many fronts. I guess I'll use my report for a brief public health and safety update. There are king tides this weekend, as well as our first major rainfall of the year. So please be careful. There's likely to be flooding throughout the area, throughout the district. And I'm looking at the Lost Coast Outpost report of 29 new COVID cases in Humboldt confirmed since Tuesday. Just running around, even though we're all sick of this and sick of not getting together and all that, with the holidays coming up, we all want to get together. Remember, in this pandemic, we're moving in the wrong direction, not in the right direction. It's not getting better. And so please, everyone, be careful, care about yourselves and each other in making decisions on how to treat this virus. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on that. And then we will move on. Like I mentioned before, we're moving up item 11B. So we're gonna take that next. Consideration of term sheet related to Harbor District management of the Tulawat Island Wetland Mitigation Project. Do we have a staff report on that?
Yeah, I have a staff report. Give me a second to share my screen here.
And while you're pulling that up, as you know, Adam, it looks like we have representatives both from the Wiat tribe and Caltrans here. So when you're done, I can check if they want an opportunity to speak as well.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Stephen. We certainly do. I want to thank the staff from the Wiat tribe and the members of the Wiat tribe and the staff from Caltrans for attending and being available to help answer questions. And of course, if they want to have any comments, they certainly can. Let me see here. Oh. Well. Can everyone see the presentation now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great, thank you. So this is a agenda item and report on the Tulawa Island Wetland Mitigation Project. This is a proposed project that would mitigate for wet impacts from the Highway 101 Safety Corridor, Humboldt Bay Trail South, and Humboldt Bay Trail North projects. The restoration project would consist of restoring about 178 acres of salt marsh. Restoration would consist of removing the non-native plant species Spartina densiflora to allow for colonization of the native plant assemblage. What we're essentially asking the district board to consider is for the Harbor District to manage implementation of this project, to manage the restoration itself, the contractor. We've been working with Caltrans staff and we've developed a term sheet which outlines how that would occur. It would occur in two phases. So during phase one, district staff would manage a competitive solicitation to do the restoration work. Again, the removal of the non-native plant from 178 acres on Tulawa Island. We've developed a cost for that. It's around $23,000. So again, Caltrans would pay us to release a request for proposals, to review the proposals that come in, and to select the contractor. That'd be the first phase. And then phase two, we would manage the work. You know, we would manage the selected contractor doing the removal. All costs that would be borne by the district would be paid for by Caltrans in addition to our standard 15% overhead. The Wiat tribe is the landowner, as you know, of Tulawa Island. All the work would be done not using herbicides. It would all be mechanical work using standard methods that have become established around the bay, mainly using the Marshmaster and essentially steel-bladed weed whackers was what they use. A lot of the details of the work itself will be developed by the contractor that they, even though the district, we have a permit from the Coastal Commission and from ourselves to do the work, which it would occur under. But for specific projects like this one, there still needs to be what's called a site-specific Spartina control plan developed. The contractor would develop that. And so that would lay out a lot of these details about how the work would occur and avoid impacts to cultural resources, address any erosion concerns and impacts of the restoration itself to sensitive species. And so with that, we recommend approving execution of the term sheet. But what that would mean, if you approve this, is it will allow the executive director to then enter into a contract for phase one. Coming back here for a second, that's, you know, phase one for $23,000 to do the competitive solicitation for the work. And then once we get those costs from the different contractors that submit proposals, we would come back to the board for phase two to award the contract and to amend the contract, or it's a cooperative agreement that we're entering with Caltrans to allow us to complete that phase two, being the actual restoration work itself. That's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions about it. I know that was a short presentation, but hopefully clear.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Yeah, I'd just like to take this moment to give any representatives from the Wea tribe, if they wish to have anything they would like to add. And then after that, any representatives from Caltrans, and then bring it back up to the board.
Good evening, President Coleman and commissioners. How are you doing this evening?
Great, nice to see you, Ted.
You too, Stephen. So the Wea tribe just wants to, you know, assure the commissioners that we are in full support of this project. You know, we want to remove the Spartan so that the traditional plants and grass that were originally on that to come back, you know, those items were our medicine, were our food resources. And as we did the work on the other side of the island, you can see that our traditional plants were starting to come back. So this is a very important project for the Wea tribe, because it's going to bring the healing back to the island, which we all know it needs to occur. And I, you know, the Wea tribe is in full support with this, with Caltrans. You know, we did our studies on this, we did the plans on it, and we fully support Caltrans with this project. And also, well, I do want to recognize that I do have my staff here, my natural resource director, Eddie Coach, and my botanist, Adam Kander here, as well as my cultural center manager, Marty Atkins, and my council member, Aaron Stevens, is as well as here. So they may have some words to say as well.
All right. I guess if any of those people you mentioned wish to speak, let me know. Otherwise, I'll move on.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. Thanks, commissioners. I just, as representative of the Natural Resource Department and botanist for the tribe, just want to reiterate that support. And, you know, this restoration of the islands is something we've been, you know, working on for years. And it's been really difficult with competitive grants to tackle something as big as almost 200 acres of Spartina. And so we're really excited for this, this partnership with Caltrans, and just supportive of the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Okay, and then I'm not sure if anyone from Caltrans wanted to speak now, or could wait till there's any questions. It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in real quick. Good evening, commissioners, and Wea tribe staff, council members, and I just wanted to add on to what Adam had put forward, especially in regards to kind of some of the details that we hashed out. We have done pretty good extensive outreach with the tribe. I think presented at two tribal councils, and we also have developed a cultural resources protection plan with Ted and some of the other staff there at the tribe. So what usually is required is kind of the standard site-specific Spartina plan, BMPs for cultural resources. Our archaeologists that we work with have kind of taken it a step further to ensure added protection, and the tribal monitoring is going to have not only just one of the tribal monitors that will come from the tribe, but also have archaeologists and an osteologist on site too. So we're going to have some pretty three-tiered cultural resource protection there. So very glad to see that. And the other things that are listed here with the erosion management and sensitive species, as Adam had highlighted, that will be addressed in the site-specific Spartina plans, which will be done in phase two, but then the RFP for the RFP will include the services to get that done as well. So,
thank you, Tim. And I must admit, I find it amusing, or tickling, that, you know, Tim and I, plus a number of other people, had a lot to do with the first treatment of Spartina on to a lot. Of course, has been involved in Spartina eradication longer than he probably wants to remember. So it's great to see. I mean, this is, you know, this has been a long time in coming, so there's been a lot of work. I do want to, like, as we begin the discussion on the board, I want to bring up that I did receive communication from Redwood Coast Action Agency expressing some concern, not necessarily about the project, but about the bid process and potential bid process, and that they had been involved on the early phase of project development and stuff. And there was concern, which I think, you know, having had some discussions, that it's okay, that concern that RCAA might be considered ineligible to bid on this project when it's released. And so I just wanted to bring up that communication and if there's any response from that from stock.
I don't know any reason that RCAA would be conflicted from bidding.
Bob Wall, Caltrans. I believe we're going to remain at an arm's length here regarding choosing the contractor. So I wouldn't see any issue here. We are not going to have anything to do with the contractor regarding who gets the job. So
right. And just to kind of piggyback on Rob's comment, they are, as part of the phase one tasks, it's going to be completely up to the Harbor District to do the RFP and RFQ solicitation, review of proposals, and selection of a contractor. So whatever earlier communication that Susanna from RCA may have had with previous Caltrans staff would to give us some idea of what costs would be for a Spartina project such as this. We're completely staying out of any sort of selection. And so this is kind of in the balls in your court in a way. As Rob said, we're going to remain at arm's length and let that selection happen with you.
Great. Thank you. I'll ask if any of other board members have any comments or questions. I'd also entertain a motion to approve this term sheet.
All moves
be approved.
Staff recommendation. Did you freeze up, Stephen?
I didn't. I heard a motion. I don't hear a second yet.
I think Larry Doss got the second. Did you? If you didn't, I'll take it. Pat Higgins, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion from the board?
Great to see the cooperation between Caltrans and WIAT, and to see the money related to local projects go back to such a worthy cause. And I want to commend all parties for their work to this point. I'm excited by the outcome. And Tim Nelson, you've dropped off my radar. Give me a ring.
Hey, Pat.
Okay, and if there's nothing else from the commissioners, I'll open it up to any public comment on this matter. Okay, well, hearing none, could you call a roll call vote? Larry?
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes, we are tribe forever.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right. The motion passes, and once again, thank you for representatives from the WIAT Tribe and Caltrans for attending on this and for making this happen. Looking forward to seeing some weed whackers out there.
Thank you.
And so let's see, I guess next we're going to move back up to 10A, adopt resolution 2020-15 establishing user fees for the discharge of effluent at the 1.5 mile RMT2 ocean outfall pipe.
So move.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Is there any report on this?
I just want to quickly clarify that these fees are only specific to the wastewater treatment plant, and we'll need to come back for the fees for Nordic Aqua Farms and any other discharges in the future. But these are really tailored specifically to the wastewater treatment plant. And so with that, staff would recommend that you adopt the 2020-15.
Thank you. And then I'll go out to the public. Any public comments on this matter? Hearing none, back up to the board. Could you call a vote, please?
Yeah, I just have a couple questions. I just want to make sure we're talking about it all the time on this out loud. We've got in these fees, Larry, if I remember right, you've got lots of information in here, both on maintenance, upgrades for pumps, and costs there. But there's also built in, right, that a replacement for down the road. There's a little bit built in for that down the road, right?
There is. It's built into the overall operating cost, a replacement reserve, basically establishing an operating reserve and a replacement reserve so we can maintain the system. And really, kind of the key distinction is that right now, it doesn't matter, basically all the maintenance that's out in the ocean, the dive inspections, all those sorts of things, we have to do that no matter how much discharge there is. And at this point, everything is being operated on gravity flow. You know, once we get to the level of discharge that we have to kick in the big pumps, you know, then there's a great deal of additional expense that will take place. Right. But we're really trying to set the stage that we're managing this ocean outfall pipe and that we have adequate reserve funds, because at this point, we're discharging treated wastewater. And, you know, this is a critical piece of infrastructure, and we have to maintain it. We've been maintaining it for ever since we've acquired it, but we truly need to maintain this critical piece of public infrastructure in the future.
Thank you. That's perfect. I just want to make sure we said that out loud here, because I've had a few comments about, hey, are you able to keep this going out there for many years? And I know we've discussed it in the past. I just didn't see a whole lot of it highlighted here. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's no other comments from the board. Now we can do a vote.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
And Commissioner Coleman.
Sure thing. All right. Moving on to item 10B, consideration of cooperative management of law enforcement memorandum of understanding for the Samoa Dunes and Wetlands, AKA Dog Ranch.
So move.
I'll second that.
Thank you. I was wondering if we're going to get a second there.
I'm sorry. I was reading that additional information that was sent to us about 10B, so it caught me a delay there.
I understand we have had some correspondence on this, but any report? And I guess give us the correspondence as well, Larry.
Yes, we received correspondence on this item, and it's uploaded to the district's website. And so they requested that I read this into the record. And so I'll go ahead. First, I'm going to give a brief overview, and then I will read the comment. I'll give an overview of the project, and I'll read the public comments before I turn it back over to the board. But in essence, on earlier this year, the board approved an acquisition agreement with Security National and then ultimately a transfer agreement to the Friends of the Dunes for the approximately 356 acre dog ranch property. What this does is it would authorize the executive director to sign a memorandum of management and law enforcement with the Bureau of Land Management, Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the State Coastal Conservancy, the Harbor District, and Friends of the Dunes. All of those entities, with the exception of, I believe, the BLM has not signed it yet, but they intend to sign it. And so we're essentially almost the last one to sign this agreement. And so in resolution, previously the board adopted a resolution and that committed up to $22,500. And then as part of the agreement, it specifies that we would pay $7,500 per year. And so the ultimate goal is to transfer for the Friends of the Dunes to transfer the property to the BLM. That's what it says in this memorandum of understanding. And if the BLM or any other entity, if the Friends of the Dunes transfers title to that other entity, then we don't have to make any additional payments after that. And so in other words, we could make the first payment of $7,500. And then if they transfer the property next year, then we wouldn't be required to make any additional transfer of funds. There's no new appropriation that the board is doing. You previously made an appropriation when you approved the transfer agreement previously. And so just in conclusion is the property did in fact close escrow and the Friends of the Dunes is the owner of the property. I was discussing with the State Coastal Conservancy this afternoon of just going in and completing the administrative paperwork and then us receiving our final drawdown amount so we can close out the grant funds on this project. And so with that, now I'm going to, my recommendation is that you authorize me to execute this MOU. And so I'm gonna read into the public record the what Uri Driscoll submitted on 11-9-2020. And here's what he wrote. Are the funds identified in the agenda additional funds to the monies the district previously identified while the district was to be the title holder of the dog ranch? Question. What specific district account would these funds be withdrawn from if approved? At what noticed meeting did the commissioners direct staff to negotiate with the Friends of the Dunes to receive district property without providing the public with notice for a request for proposals and prior to actually owning the question property? The district became the owner of the dog ranch after accepting state funds for the acquisition. Was a legal opinion obtained by the district supporting the transfer of this public property to a public entity? In other words, was this gifting of public funds supported by any written opinion from an attorney employed by the district? I will not be available to make public comments at the November 12th meeting, so I'm requesting that the Executive Director Otker to read this communication into the minutes. I'm also requesting a written response to the questions proposed above. And that's the end of the public comment. So with that, I would recommend that the board approve the cooperative management agreement.
Larry, I have one question. That's too bad. I wish the tribal representatives were still here. I know we talked about they were going to also participate in management, and I've seen that in news reports and press releases on this. Were they approached to be part of this MOU?
You know, I honestly do not know if they, if specifically related to the MOU. I know that the Friends of the Dunes has reached out to them and asked them, but you know, I honestly do not know the answer to that question.
I think it'd be appropriate for them to be approached to be part of this MOU if that's what they wanted. But with that, that's all I have. I still think I support this moving forward. Any other commissioners have any comments on this? Not seeing, well, I guess there's a number I don't recognize. I'm not sure who that is, but are there any public who have any comments on this? All right, hearing none, we'll can take a vote.
Commissioner Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Moving on to new business, 11A, discussion regarding lease between Harbor District and Mario's Marina and sublease between Harbor District and Shelter Cove Fishing Preservation Incorporated, Shelter Cove, APN 108-171-023-000.
Yes, the Harbor District has an existing lease agreement with the property owner, which is really at the headworks for the Shelter Cove, where the beach access is. And then the last year, the Harbor District entered into a sublease with the Shelter Cove Fishermen's Preservation Incorporated to take over the sublease. And we also entered into a janitorial agreement with the fishermen. All of these agreements are set to expire on March 31st of 2021. And so we've had some preliminary discussions with the property owner, the fishermen, the Resort Improvement District. And in essence, the Harbor District has consistently said, you know, that we do not want to be the long-term leaseholder. And instead, we want to work to sort of facilitate the lease and or acquisition so that it's more locally controlled. And that was part of the reasons why we worked with the fishermen, and the fishermen stepped forward and they approved the sublease. And so my recommendation is that you direct me to continue to work with the Shelter Cove Resort Improvement District, the Shelter Cove Fishermen's Preservation Incorporated, and the property owner to try to work out an arrangement so that the property can be in some form of government control, but that it be locally controlled. And so therefore that the Harbor District can focus on our state tideland lease, the boat ramp that goes down to the beach, and the jetty areas, and to leave the management of the upland properties to the local community. And so there's really good cooperative relationships that we have. And so I'd just like you to give me the authority to work with those organizations and then keep you informed. Lastly, is there is the board previously approved a Shelter Cove subcommittee, which is Commissioner Doss and Commissioner Higgins. And so I would hope that to continue to keep them informed and to have them participate in any meetings along the way, but to continually report back and to try to get something completed before the March 31st expiration. And I believe the district attorney was going to, you know, look to see if we have any noticing provisions or other items so that we make sure that we are providing any notice before we would pull out of any agreements.
Yeah, Larry, and the current lease with the property owner requires that we give 90 days notice of our intent to renew. And so that would be January 1st. Would be the time period for the district to say we intend to proceed to phase two. Otherwise, the lease would expire on March 31, 2021.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. And does this require a motion, or this is just a staff direction?
No, it does not require a motion. It was really an informational, and then to see if there was any public comment.
I guess we'll start with the board. Any comment from the board?
All sounds good to me, Pat Higgins.
And any comment from the public? Who's this 834-0720 number?
720.
All right. Well, either way, I'm not hearing any comment from the public, so consider yourself so directed.
Okay.
Moving on, item 11C, consideration of letters supporting U.S. Coast Guard operations.
I would move adoption of that item.
I'll second in a heartbeat.
All right. Is there any report on this, or do we all know what this is all about? We support the Coast Guard and want to keep them a good, want to be a good landlord and keep them as a good tenant.
Keep them funded.
All right. Then, is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, you can call a vote on it.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
And Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. All right, I think that's the end of our business. I just scrolled away from that, but do we have any future agenda items?
I have one suggestion. That we follow the sediment wherever it ends up. If we could follow the trail of the sediment that we have at Marine Terminal 2.
Okay. We will keep you informed of the sediment reuse.
Yeah, I definitely would like to hear that. I think I had asked you this before, Larry, but and I think you mentioned that maybe on one of our next meetings we could have a district treasurer report. It's been a little while since we heard from him.
Yes, we'll have Mark Witzel come and give a report at your next meeting.
Not at the special meeting, but at the next regular meeting, right?
Yeah, next regular meeting before tax season comes.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Okay. And Stephen, I have a standing item, CESA take permit, longfin smelt. And I know it'll get on here one of these months, but I'm not backing off that one.
Well, we got the property, so that's a step, a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, the items that are on the list, and we go over this, I apologize, we should probably end up just putting these on the agenda, but we go over these in our staff meeting. It's basically future agenda items as long fin smelts, the use of the railroad corridor around the bay presentation, which was requested, then the bar pilots, then we need to do some personnel policy revisions to match up with the bargaining agreement, and then also kind of cleaning up some things like that. And then Ryan was going to do Brown Act training, but this agenda was too long and we didn't want to do the training on this one. But maybe in the December meeting, if it's a much shorter agenda, then we can do the Brown Act training. So those are the items on the list. And then we would then add to that the follow-up on the sediment reuse.
Sounds good. All right, just one question on my own level. Do I need to come in and sign that letter for the Coast Guard, or who signs that? Let me look at it again.
That has your name on it. We could email that to you.
Yeah, I can sign that electronically and send it back to you.
Yeah, we can. Mindy, can you email that to him tomorrow?
I can. I do have other documents I need you to sign, though, Stephen, from the resolution from this board meeting.
Okay. I can try and make it tomorrow then. It'd have to either be first thing in the morning or is early next week, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But I can email you this letter if we want to get it out early.
Whatever best on that. I'm sure I can make it in Monday, just tomorrow is pretty packed for me.
Monday should work.
coming up on about 9 hours of Zoom meeting for on the day. So I think we can be adjourned.
Yo.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a great evening, everybody.
Good night.
So long.
We should have an oxygen dispenser for Zoom meetings more than four.
Crazy.